Good morning, dear ones. It's good to have you with us. It's my practice generally when someone gets up to lead the Lord's table, preside over the Lord's table, I grab this little thing and put it in my hand and hold it till it's time to partake. You might want to set it down today because we're going to do this a little differently. Really, we usually have a table talk kind of short and then the sermon kind of long. Switched them around. It's going to be a long table talk. And just an invitation when it comes time for the sermon. So we can focus on the Lord's Supper. And the aspect that I want to consider first is the idea of sustaining a relationship. Sustaining a relationship over a very long period of time. There's anxiety, generally, attached to that, and it's a whole genre in music that speaks to that. An old song asks, how do you keep the music playing? And Dan Fogelberg later on, how do you make love last? The idea of, you know, if you pick a person, how do you sustain a relationship? How do you keep it new? How do you keep it going? And all the anxiety goes with it. Maybe I won't be able to. And some folks, I think, just shy away from relationships because they don't think it's possible to keep it new and keep it vital and keep it growing. But we have this relationship with our Lord that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, a communion with our Lord and a communion with one another as well. How do we keep that relationship fresh? There are few Christians who celebrate the Lord's Supper more frequently than we, very few. There are some who will let you take of the Lord's Supper every day if you want to. Very, very few will do that, but some do it as frequently as daily if you want it. A lot of folks, it's a lot less frequently celebrated than us. Maybe just once a month or maybe quarterly. And if you talk with some of those folks, they'll wonder, you know, how do you keep it special if you're talking about it every week? Well, we're trusting the Lord's timing on that one. We see the example in the scriptures on the first day of the week when they gathered together to break bread. Celebrating that on the first day of the week is the way he directs us to do that. So it must be the right frequency. But how come it doesn't get old? How can it be continually fresh? I don't know, men that come up and preside over the Lord's table, do you ever get the feeling that, I don't know what to say, I've said it all, it's all been talked about before, the reading from Isaiah chapter 53. The other frequent reading we use in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've done all that. What are we going to do this time? What can I do to make it special? I want to talk to you this morning, in the next probably 10 minutes, 10 different things, 10 different aspects of the Lord's Supper that are each of them profound enough for an entire sermon. And as I list these 10 different things for you, and by the way, on page 3 of the bulletin, there's a place to keep track of them. You can see the references that we're going to talk about. You can list there the different aspects that we're going to cover. This is just still the tip of the iceberg. The reason that we can focus on this event weekly is that it is so profound. There are so many different aspects of this that are amazing that it just doesn't ever get old. And even when we talk about it every week, it doesn't get old. The first aspect I'll invite you to consider is the idea of remembrance. That's what we're doing here, is we're remembering something, an event in history that is so important, so vital to our relationship. It deserves to be remembered. We as humans set up memorials to all sorts of different things. This is a memorial, something to cause us to remember that was set up by God. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance. is maybe the central idea, but it's just the first of 10 that I want to talk to you about today. The second one, moving quickly, is reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Jesus, in his death, his sacrificial death, reconciled the whole world, made it possible for the whole world to be right again in a relationship with God, or in, again, a right relationship with God. It is for us to bear that message now to that world that needs to be reconciled. Transference, the third word to consider, the third aspect of the Lord's Supper to consider. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, going on verses 20 and 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Here's the transference part. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, the sinless one, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our sin transferred to the one who had no sin of his own. And this even conjures up images of Old Testament sacrifice, where when an animal was brought to be offered, the one who brought the animal would put their hand on the head of the animal that was about to die, signifying a transference. The idea of the sacrifices back in the old day was the idea of substitution. It should be me, but this one instead. This one goes in my stead. This one's life is now substituted for my life. And that's the transference that takes place here at the Lord's Supper. And I always think about putting my hand on Jesus' head and there being that crown of thorns there. It would hurt me, but how much more would it hurt him when I press that crown of thorns into his head? Transference. Another idea of redemption. Redemption. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. To redeem means to buy back. And it was often a term used with slaves. If a person was owned and they were enslaved, that person could be bought with a price. And that action would be called redemption. You can redeem them if you pay that price. Jesus paid that price for all of us so that we could be his, so that we could be a people for his own possession. Passover, also another aspect of this Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, or in some translations, our Passover lamb, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. From the first that it was put into place in Exodus chapters 11, 12, the Passover was continually celebrated right up until the time of our Lord and Savior. The lamb was set aside on the first day of the week. It was kept apart. It was slaughtered and then consumed. And then that first Passover, the blood was put on the doorposts so that that angel that was going to claim the firstborn would pass over that house. That angel of death would pass over that house. And every year that that was celebrated, it pointed to Jesus ultimately fulfilling what that was pointing toward, being our Passover. Jesus is our Passover, who's been sacrificed for us. Another aspect of the Lord's Supper is introspection. I don't, as preacher, as elder, stand here and consider whether or not you can partake of the Lord's Supper today. That's your job. That's your job. Introspection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, a man must examine himself. And in so doing, he's to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In that examined, self-examined way. Why do we do it? Well, he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. If we're not really members of the Lord's body and we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's not a good thing. That's drinking judgment or condemnation to ourselves. We need to be make sure we're part of the Lord's body before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Dependence. When that group of folks was following Jesus and they were just really in it for the bread that he had given out the day before and were looking for more of that, they kind of were looking for a free ride, and he knew it. He's trying to bring them along by giving them more teaching and helping them to understand better. He's giving them some difficult teaching. And he says to them in John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves." Now, he was saying this in prospect, for really, this hadn't come into effect yet, this Lord's Supper. But he's looking ahead to this time, and he says, you've got to do this. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." With that sense of need and dependence on him, we keep the Lord's Supper until he comes again. We've got to do this. If we don't do this, we don't have life in ourselves. Another idea, another aspect of the Lord's Supper is communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we're all partakers of that one bread." And so this sense of oneness with the Lord and with each other is celebrated in the Lord's Supper. Another interesting aspect of the Lord's Supper is coronation. Coronation. Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." The Jews protested when Pilate wrote on the sign that was placed on the cross, "The King of the Jews." Really, Jesus was being crowned, would be crowned after that sacrifice. It was in the process of happening. A coronation, raised up eventually to sit at the right hand of God as prince and king. It's part of the Lord's Supper. We remember that too. And the last of 10 ideas to share with you this morning, the idea of sacrifice, and an awful way to be sacrificed as well. "Being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even You know, there are different ways to die. One of the worst is death on a cross, even death on a cross. Jesus was our sacrifice in that terrible, terrible way. So all of these things together, dear ones, all these different aspects, and I haven't even hit them all. That's why we can focus on this and it never gets old, nor should it. Amen. Would you bow with us as we prepare to take a little bread? Father, we're so thankful for this rich remembrance that we're partaking of. We're so thankful for this indescribable gift that is the sacrificing of your Son, whose body hung on that cruel cross, whose bones were not broken, but whose body was broken. We pray that you, as we partake of this, help us to partake in a manner that's pleasing to you, and we ask that you forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow with me again, please? Likewise, Father, we come to you with giving thanks for the blood of your Son, our Savior, that was shed on that cruel cross. The blood that brings forgiveness, the blood that he bore into that most holy place, the true one. Pray that you'll continue to bless us and forgive us as we remember it with this fruit of the vine. We ask it in Jesus' name. We also are not passing the collection plate for health reasons, concerns, but it remains out there in the foyer. And if you desire to contribute to the work here, pray that you put something in as you leave. It's a responsibility for our members. Now, if you're visiting, you're just our honored guests.